sinner.
All right, let's move forward in our exposition . Take out your document. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Of actualization by God's decree in eternity.
Of actualization by God's decree in eternity.
From manifestations in time.
From manifestations in time.
We had moved into the third part of this. Part three. There are 10 parts. You have 4 parts. We'll give you another one probably when we come back from the summer, in the fall. Be part 5. Part 3, repeat after me the first section of part 3. Conjoining faith to free will.
Conjoining faith to free will.
Inevitably
induces
futility. Oh, my God. Now, the Liberman is our designated reader. I want you to open your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Our main focus this morning would be on verse 31. Remember, last week we were in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Of course, as we were reading through that, we exegeted, and from my exegesis, we were able to clear up the erroneous teaching that God has given us physical things to enjoy. The purpose of testimony is not geared to the blissful satisfaction of God's people through physicality. I think I'll repeat that. The physical things of this life are not ultimately geared for your satisfaction and happiness. And so that's not what Paul was saying, as the exegesis proved last week. The only thing that you can enjoy are the things that are forever abiding. The things that are unchallenged by the forces of nature. The things that can't rot, can't decay. The things that cannot be shaken or moved. The things that are eternal.
Yes.
That eliminates the sin.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And so Paul writes in another place, and he says that the things that we are seeing are temporary. Which means that these are not the things that we rely upon for our happiness, our satisfaction, our joy, the essence of life transcends the things that are around us. In the chapter 7, very unique chapter, 1 Corinthians, many look at it and they are far from where the apostle is actually talking about. Here, many go and teach the relationship between a husband and wife, and there are some things that he speaks to in that. Yes, he does. That relationship, as it previews the essence of our relationship with Christ. Here he talks about the marriage, but this chapter is not about marriage. Here he talks about their marriage. And so this chapter is not, even though it speaks about bachelors, bachelorettes, that's not what this is about. It speaks about believers and unbelievers and their relationships in marriage. Speaks about the children. It speaks about and gives advice in relationship to that. It talks about circumcision. But the message is not about circumcision. It talks about uncircumcision. But the message is not about uncircumcision. These are preludes leading to what the essence of this is about. In this chapter, he speaks about virgins. But it's not about virgins. As we look at all of these different relationships, Elva, I want you to start. Oh my God. In verse 29. In verse 28, they ask him about the wife and the marriage and how that will affect. And this is basically what they ask. We're asking Paul about how these things will affect us, because there was the illusion that what we do in time transitioned with us over into eternity. I was at a funeral yesterday. Certain denomination, I won't call. And basically, they've misconstrued physicality, and they misconstrue time, and they misconstrue the essence that there is a gulf between time and eternity. There's separation between things that are seen and things that are unseen. There's a difference between the physical and the spiritual. Amen. And more, there's a difference between who you are now, manifested in, encapsulated in these bodies, versus who you are in Christ. Who you are in these bodies is physical. Who you are in Christ is spiritual. That Greek word in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is not to literally be translated change, it is exchanged. So to leave these bodies is to completely disassociate forever with it. Doesn't matter whether you burn it, whether you, what you do to that body. I'm not saying that you go out and desecrate bodies. Now, that's not what we're saying. Somebody always go the wrong way. I'm saying the essence of your relationship with your body is severed at physical death. Yeah. That word thanatos means separation. And it's ironic because this week, as we was writing, and maybe somewhere a month from now, that's how far I'm ahead with the pastor's things. When we look, we'll see in the essence of those writings that we're talking about two different entities. This body and our covenantal interment into the body of Christ. What do you think Paul mean we were buried with him by baptism? He wasn't talking about some physical rite of baptism. your placement in the body of Christ. By one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, were you baptized into the body. You were placed into the body. You were placed there when? In eternity, before creation. You are more in Him than you are in these bodies. You were in Him. In time, you're associated with these bodies. In time, you disassociate with these bodies. But it has nothing to do with you were. And you are because you were. You were. Castle for the body. Castle for the Lord. Doesn't disturb anything. Doesn't change anything. As we look into this passage and he's getting ready to read, I'm going to set the conversation. Because if you walk in the middle of the conversation and you're not privy to what was said and what the course of the conversation is about, you allow her to walk in there and you hear one or two things and you misconstrue what the crux of the messages. Paul had gone through this litany of relationships on earth basically to say that they're secondary. That these are manifestations for testimony that don't determine anything. What designed to determine anything, but they were only designed for testimony. Everybody said testimony. Testimony. Your whole life on this earth in these bodies is simply in the testimony mode. And what you do. So as we read this, we will see, and it sounds, some of it, so that's, boy, that sounds cold. As we follow what he's saying here. All right? Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Everybody open your Bibles. Verse
29. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with the 29th verse.
Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. But this I say, brethren.
You see that but there? But. But.
The time is short.
No, notice. What, all right, go ahead on and read that, and then we'll go to the Greek. Hurry up and get to the Greek.
It remaineth that both they that are that have wives be as though they had none.
What are you saying? What is he saying? That's my wife. Those are my children. What are you saying? Well, let's get to the Greek. All right. Verse 30.
And they that weep, as though they wept not.
As though they never did it. So, what? Paul? He must be smoking something. What are you talking? All this stuff I went to and it wasn't about nothing. Some of y'all looking at me crazy. No, you're not going to turn on your TV for the most part and somebody's teaching from this. Because these are hard sayings. All this stuff you're going through. Read.
And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not.
Is he crazy? What is he saying? This life doesn't matter. Let's clear it up in context. Keep reading.
And they that buy as though they possess not.
You mean all my stuff wasn't about nothing? Just see where they're fooling around in Paul's epistles. All my possessions wasn't about nothing. Read.
Verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, but the fashion of this world passeth away.
That's the toughest one of all. All of this is gone. Going, going, gone. Read on a little bit more.
Verse 32.
Because it gets tougher. It gets tougher. You know, ministers are so intimidated, they won't preach from this passage. Just like you won't hear ministers preaching from the kingdom passage when they walked in and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers. And he said, what? What? Who is my son? Who is... Huh? Another passage, he said, it'd be better for you to be maimed and messed up and slaughtered in this world as compared to the other world.
Right.
If you went through here scot-free, then on the other side, you're separated. Some tough sayings, aren't they? This is what Paul was saying. Read.
But I would have you without carefulness.
Mm-hmm.
He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
How he may please the Lord.
Uh-huh.
But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world.
Uh-huh.
How he may please his wife.
The pastor, you don't get in trouble. They won't preach. They won't preach. These sayings are construed to be really cold. Because you know how much we care for our families.
Right, right.
Yeah. But here he's separating earthly relationships from eternal relationships. Because the two are different.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My wife, my child, my mother. Mm-hmm. Earthly relationships that are to be cherished on earth.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. My child, my baby. Earthly relationship.
Absolutely.
That's it. Pastor, that's cold. All right, let's take this page and just rip it out of here. And a whole lot of other pages. Read.
But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife.
Uh-huh.
There is difference also between a wife and a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
The unmarried woman,
the bachelorette,
careth for the things of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
That she may be holy.
Separated.
Both in body and in spirit.
Both in body and in spirit. Uh-huh.
But she that is married, care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband.
It's a tough... Huh? But you got to understand the context of life and what existence is to understand what he is saying. And if you mix physicality up with spirituality and time with eternity, this will throw you. But there is a definitive line of demarcation. Every marriage ceremony that I've ever performed, the commitment is unto what?
Death,
the separation. Physical separation. Jesus had to straighten a few of them out in the kingdom gospel. And he said, according to the law, this brother married and according to the law, if he dies, that she was, the widow was obligated to marry the next brother. He said, when he get to heaven, whose wife is he? He said, what? In the kingdom, those respondents are all what? They're the bride of Christ. So you all be married to me. The essence of it is that there are limitations on everything touching time and physicality.
Amen.
And the essence of your eternal, abiding, everlasting relationship with God is a complete different matter.
Get
to heaven and say, he said, well, I want to get to heaven because I want to see my mother. And we got up in heaven and we got all, he said, that's my mother, that's my brother. You get some, so we, in the body of Christ, we got all this mess going on. Huh? I guarantee you won't be that way. So what, will we know each other? You will know each other, but the affection will be dominated by what you feel for the head. Which would be much more than what you ever felt for that one in this life.
Absolutely.
And so every body member will love every other body member even more than you could ever have loved your mother.
Yeah.
Or your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your children.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you... Your love for God, your love for Christ, this is why we have to put that thing in order now. I love every member of my family, my wife, my children, grandchildren, my siblings. I love every last one of you. But I love God more. The affectations that we have here are limited.
Absolutely.
There are husbands and wives that were husband and wife that are divorced. There are children and their parents that are strange, not speaking. Have no use for one another. There are things that one can do in this life that can cause another one to lose every bit of whatever affection you ever had for that one.
That's right.
And I know that goes strong because a mother is, you know, no matter what that child does or how sorry he is and so forth and so on, that's a mother thing there. But there's limitations to that. God wouldn't depend upon that. We're talking about the eternal forever ride and the affectations that are determined within that is the essence of spiritual love, spiritual commitment, spiritual relationship. It goes beyond that. It is the love of God that goes beyond the trials and tribulations of this life. He has given us a longing, a love for Him. Oh, there are those that can't maybe resonate to it in this life. In these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much stuff floating around in the way.
Come on here.
But in eternity,
yes.
It is the love of God that has been poured into your hearts in Romans. As He speaks, that the Holy Ghost has poured his love into our hearts.
Yes, yes, yes.
That transcend whatever is going on.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
He has given us his nature.
Right.
We're members of his body.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God. And everything that has transpired in the time loops were designed for testimonies and the comparison. Oh my God, Paul said they can't be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, somebody ought to praise him this morning. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be nice for us to enjoy some of that right now? Why should you go through life and you have no resonation with it and you've got to close your eyes in death, discard these bodies, wake up in the arms of Jesus to really appreciate who he is and the love of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Do you know that most of Paul's writings are written in the sense of speaking to us as members that are presently in the body of Christ? Remember, time is a creation. Time is a creation. Creation.
Yes, yes, it is. Absolute glory. It is.
And all, as I said in that funeral yesterday, he's talking about going to sleep. You got a good record with God. And then if your record is good enough, he's going to wake you up in the resurrection to live on this earth forever. I even brought a copy of the song they sung at the end. You know. Yeah. Somebody said, why weren't you singing? Your song is your testimony. This song is not my testimony. Life without end and last. Can you see with your mind's eye? People dwelling together. Sorrow has passed, peace has last. Life without tears of pain. Oh, yeah, that's coming, man. But it goes beyond that. You've got to wait till you close your eyes for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity hasn't ever gone anywhere.
Never.
Listen to this. No, I'm not going to sing this. In those days, all we grow young. Flesh revive. Want no part of it. I'll be like the widow who wasn't ready to follow her husband. She said, I cremate him. They said, okay. And not that cremation means that you, this is just part of the joke, okay? Then the undertaker brought the ashes to her. But you can bring it down. She said, burn those too. That's the way I feel about this body. Don't you revive. Flesh revive. In childhood, troubles are gone, and from now on, no need to weep or fear. Paradise. Go back to the Garden of Eden. That wouldn't be good news. You revived my flesh in the Garden of Eden. it's going to happen again.
Amen.
Everything that went down will be repeated. There's no security in physicality. All will enjoy as we sing of God's glory long as we live, long as we live. Long as we live. We will give to God our maker of thanks. Sing with joy of heart, you too can have a part. Live for the day when you'll say, life without end at last. I guess by now you know what the denomination is. No, I won't sing this. That's not my testimony.
No, it's not.
What is your testimony? You be in Christ? What? You are what?
In Him now.
You're a new creation. You are right now. You are right now in Christ, a new creation. Right now you're in Him. Whether we resonate with it or not,
right.
We're in Him right now. We will in Him before we were ever encapsulated in these bodies.
Right.
Eternity hasn't gone anywhere.
Oh,
all things pass. All have become new. So basically this is what he's talking about here. Verse 35.
Verse 35.
Mm-hmm.
And this I state for your own profit.
Uh-huh.
Not that I may cast a snare upon you.
I'm not trying to meddle with your feelings. Go ahead.
But for that which is comely.
Earthly.
And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction.
Without these earthly distractions. Now what are we saying? Are we not to look at the things on the earth in the standpoint that we deal with them? No, you got families, you're obligated to take care of them. Our contract says a man doesn't take care of his wife. He's worse than an unbeliever.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we don't occupy till we come. The key word is what?
Priority.
What are we prioritizing? A distraction is like if you're driving and somebody begin to text you and you're trying to read and drive. And I would say to you, don't do that. Pull over if you just got to deal with it. That's a distraction. Because your main focus is what? It's driving. The main focus of your existence is God. The essence of you in Christ in the heavens. Don't let the things of life distract you from it.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's go to the Greek.
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, my God. One of these days, y'all give me about 2-3 hours to preach. Everybody got to die. If you don't have the Greek text here, just follow along.
1 Corinthians chapter 7.
This time start at verse 29.
Verse 29.
Mm-hmm.
In the interlinear Greek.
Uh-huh.
But this I say, brothers.
What? Read.
The time having been shortened.
Already been shortened. In the conference, we're going to deal with the matrix. Everybody say the matrix.
What's
that? What's the matrix? Come to the conference. The year we were talking about a few minutes ago, we were reading the pastor's pen, the year 2085, it's already there on the matrix. It's already done. Only thing that moves is our conscience and our spirit. It's already done. The year 1945 isn't going anywhere. It's still there on the matrix. The pastor, you are acting. Look what he's saying here. This is why we exegete. Already been what?
Already
done. It's done. Time is a creation. Speaking of home going, everybody in here, your home going is already complete.
Already.
It's actualized. Mm-hmm. Oh, Pastor, that you know, stop being skittish.
That's right.
If your priority is who you are in these bodies, yeah, that's not going to be good news.
No.
But if it is who you are in Christ, that's great news. It's laying there in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Because time is just a creation.
Mm-hmm.
You got matter, which is mass and energy, right?
That's right.
Then you got space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the scientists, they're focusing on physicality. Exclusively, they say that mass and energy tells time and space where to go. And it says space and time tells mass and energy what to do. You know what's missing?
Yeah.
What?
Purpose.
Say it out loud.
Purpose.
Mm-hmm. Which is the conductor of it all.
Lord God. Amen. Yes, sir.
It flows according to God's purpose.
Yes, sir.
And testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of your life. More than the things that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our contract. Keep reading.
Verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones using this world is not abusing it.
Uh-huh.
It's passing away.
Okay.
For the fashion of this world.
And those using the world as not fully using it. For the fashion of this world, what? It's passing.
Passing.
He's just here. He's not written. Now, understand. He's speaking in the venue of manifestation here.
Right.
So each one of those verbs would be in the present tense. But notice each one of them in the passive voice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what you're doing, you have no control over.
Right.
You have no real input
right.
into determining the end of it.
Right.
Check it out. Passive voice. That's when the subject is being acted upon. It's talking about us, right? He said, you using it. Read that again.
And the ones using the world
mm-hmm.
is not abusing it,
mm-hmm.
is passing away
mm-hmm.
for the fashion of this world.
Let us use some more friendly language here. He was here. He's going directly from it. More English friendly, the way we say it, you know, in this language, it puts the predicate before the subject. And those using the world as not fully using, for the fashion of this world is passing away. Here we have a Greek phrase here. Let's go to the bottom of page 71. You got that? Where it says, note. Here we've done some exegesis here. So again, note that 1 Corinthians 7, everybody got that, say amen. Note that 1 Corinthians 7:31 states, quoting, "Those used in the world is not fully using, for the fashion of this world is passing away." We have a Greek phrase there, "ekomene," which is rendered "those using." It depicts those making use of or utilizing the world, that is, using its dispensable resources. No matter how good the meal you were eating in your plate, you keep on eating as much as you were enjoying it, what's going to happen eventually? It's gone. You're not just using it, you're using it up. Follow this. We have a Greek phrase there, katakomene. It is rendered not fully using. It denotes not thoroughly using it or not using it up. And Paul here is saying, in view of the shortness of time, the cogitation of thinking is of such one exhausted the potentials of the world as though they are not. In that documentary I was telling you about last night, I was looking at, do you know that the oil reserves, what's happening to them? They're depleting. The oil resources, I should say. If they keep using oil the way everybody's using it, what's going to finally happen? It's going to be gone. So we're not using it, we're using it up. And a whole lot of other things, clean water, et cetera, so forth and so on. Pastor, you don't talk too encouraging about this world. I'm going to speak behind the scriptures. As far as this world is concerned, you can't do one thing with Daniel or Revelation. Now, in examining the statement, the fashion of this world is passing by, we have a noun there, schema. It is rendered fashion. It has reference to the external form, shape, and appearance of the world. As we reference Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. We have a verb there, poloi. It's rendered passing by. It's in the present tense. Remember now, Paul is speaking in the mode of what? Manifestation. It's in the present tense. It's literally denoted leading by, leading beside, leading away, hence being changed or altered. Other places that it is used. Matthew 9:9, for those that may be listening to this, Mark 2:14, and here corroborated in Psalms 129:8. Hence, this conveys that the external appearance and vagaries of the cosmos or world is being altered and changed, even if some don't acknowledge it. Doesn't matter. And you notice each one of these verbs in passive voice. Why are we going to stop him? Maybe if we do this and maybe if we do that, we can then be before. I hear him talking like that, I smile. I mean, who's in charge of this world? If we get together, we can change. Depend upon who you think is in charge. And so this is why in verse 32 and 33, he's talking about, hey, you know, all of this that's going down, you know, go with the flow, whatever's there. If you're married, it's because you were decreed to be married. And you make the best of it. Do everything you can while you can, as long as you can. With all your heart. With all your mind, with all your soul. But one day what? It's gone. It's over. Every earthly relationship you can think about. One day, it is over. Drop down to 35, elder. In the Greek.
Verse 35.
Mm-hmm.
And this. For thee of yourselves advantage,
but
I say.
I'm saying this for your advantage. Amen. What advantage? So that you don't live a life of illusion.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir.
I'm saying this for your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a head start. So that the priority of our life and our existence
yes.
is in the proper order.
That's right.
And comprehension.
That's right.
Oh, it doesn't mean that you don't love the people and love the relationships.
Right.
You do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But if you have this information and this advantage, when the relationships begin to be broken up, as the Lord takes us out of here. We're not disillusioned.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
I couldn't really call that a homegoing yesterday. They were sitting there like the worst thing could happen has happened. Oh, you miss the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You miss the fellowship. And that's where the sorrow comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But the sorrow is turned to joy. If you have this advantage and this understanding that weeping may endure for a moment, but joy, can you say joy? Can you say joy? Cometh in the morning. So even at the home going, you can shout. You can praise God. Because our existence transcends those things that are around us. Finish that up. 35th verse.
And for this, for the of yourselves advantage, I say,
mm-hmm.
not in order that a restraint you I may put on, but for the thing comely.
I'm not trying to restrain you. This is not for us to say, hey, and then somebody always go that route. Husbands, preachers afraid to preach this because they're afraid their wife's going to get upset. You must don't love me. You up there saying it ain't about nothing. You're not. That's not. Put it in the right order.
Right. Amen.
In the right perspective.
Right.
In the long run, it was about something. It was about testimony.
Come on.
Now, why would Paul come down with these biblical facts? Listen to me. Listen to the word of God. Why would he come down with these biblical facts? Finish it up.
Not in order that a restraint you I may put on, but for the thing comely and waiting on the Lord undistractedly.
But that you will focus on the things. And are not distracted by the things around you. There are eternal hope. Remember we was reading in the pastor's pen this morning, huh? Where is your focus? What's your light at the end of the tunnel? To some people, it's getting out of debt. Suppose the Lord is not decreed for you to get out of debt. Wrong light.
Mm-hmm.
The light at the end of the tunnel is to get their bodies well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people that come and stand in healing lines every week, I'm not going to go home till I get my blessing. I'm going to be like the woman that comes to you. Stay in your gospel.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
continued to worry the master until he gave the judge of who that was, until he gave over. Physicality. Follow this. At the bottom of 71, give me about 10 minutes. We're going to run over a little bit, just a little this morning. Where I said prioritizations, you got that? Prioritizations of anticipatory or permanent pleasures of eternity must be embraced as the ultimate substantiation of joy, peace, and satisfaction. Tiny bits of deemed pleasant pleasures, as experienced every now and then, are grossly insufficient to adequately constitute any abiding happiness or blissfulness. Why? Due to their inabilities and unreliabilities of substance. Also, supremely sacrificing for these pleasant pleasures are completely worthless when such efforts are scripturally assessed, as the day will declare it. Here we reference 1 Corinthians 3:13. Prioritizing indulgences in transient pleasures aren't really worth it. How can they be? The forever terminating memories aren't abidingly useful. Thus, they are in that sense worthless. Informed energies should be prioritized in the future of unending pleasures. Deviating from the path of abiding immortality is intrinsically espousing illusions, incurring severe problems, resulting in the mental wrecks, caused by unscriptural assumptions. This is mainly what induces discussions we have, the issues before us, concerning the unpredictability of faith and brother free will. These accessories are all in illusions. Mankind can't exert sufficient self-initiative to neither produce nor deny himself any of these pleasures that seem theoretically possible, even in the most heuristic or argumentum sense. In the subtle logic of appearing to be true, such would not only be tremendously difficult, but outright unattainable, especially that which is obviously false. Sadly, there is a plethora of popular literature today espousing theories for developing various sorts of humanistic self-initiative controls and diversities of species that is appearing to be true but really false, specious arguments indicative of such off-functioning ideals. There are actually orthodoxy accepted notions that the pleasures of this present life engender the ultimate goal of arbitrarily doing whatever one desires. In pursuance of such folly, abiding existence resides in foregoing the latter end of conscience in order to achieve temporary gratification in the former. But the truth is, what abides for the present won't remain, as we've just read, as it is completely transient, moving. Hence, underlying queries are there actually any currently abiding benefits in immortality? Is there really any benefit for the moment, for one living into the next sphere of existence? Why then should one still prefer living in the present if the prioritized focus is ultimately in the future? Now, this exposes major contradictions in strictly prioritized earthly focus reasoning. That's where these questions are coming from. You're standing on a horizontal earthly plane asking these questions. These writings in our contract are from the heavenly eternal viewpoint, where you see the whole picture. In a physically condensed form, One should not succumb to the denials of pleasure. Listen, you've heard the rest. Now listen, before we get out of here, somebody right here saying what I did say. In a physically condensed form, one should not succumb to the denials of pleasure because they're everlastingly worthless. You get that? Should not succumb to denying them because they are everlasting. Because they're not everlastingly worth it. We're not saying don't do them. You get that? Alright, I don't want to hear it. You get that? Go on and do them. Enjoy yourself. But abandon while prioritizing what?
Eternal
spiritual pleasures. There's always something in your heart that's beyond what's around you that's giving you joy. I'm having fun doing this, but there's greater joy beyond this. Ultimate hope and immortality transcend all other goals. Yet this does not mean that one must forego all earthly pleasures in order to abide in the rich knowledge of eternal dwellings. Yes, this comprehension eliminates various amounts of the doubting incurred in what seems likely or what might happen, whether such goals are adequately sufficient in lieu of the immeasurable pleasures enthralled futuristically, placating humanity in favor of replacing depraved humanity exudes artificial intelligence in generating the pleasures of the moment, which time neither preserves for later nor what?
Definitely.
I'm going to repeat this again. Placating humanity in favor of replacing depraved humanity. Holding on to what we got instead of knowing that this is temporary, that's artificial intelligence. While you are holding on to the pleasure of the moment, which as Paul writes in one place, is not to be compared with the greater. It's an illusion because it is in time, and in time it is neither preserved for later and absolutely not indefinite. Now, the reality of the depraved creation depicts functioning as not abiding reliable and merely one moment before the end of the universe. In this view, no temporarily pleasurable moment suffices for negating the inevitable toll of depravity, which is the sole judge for ultimately evaluating such. Relatively speaking, this reliance, this is the last paragraph and I'm down. Listen, its reliance on earthly pleasures as an adequate substitute for abiding happiness, such a good thing to begin with. No. God's people should comprehend that there is something more important than what daily functioning in the sphere of time renders. For this alone does not define the meaning of life. At every point, nagging questions are, what constitutes the pursuit of abiding happiness? Absolutely not self-indulgence. So what constitutes the pursuit of abiding habits and what maximizes abiding pleasure? Don't abiding pleasures have to emit dominant roles in abiding happiness for it to result in lasting pleasure? I'll go over that real slowly again. don't abide in pleasures have to emit dominant roles. That what you look at is a dominant role in abiding happiness. For it to result in lasting pleasure. In other words, in order to know you're going to continue to be happy, you have to be confident that the thing that's bringing the so-called pleasure of happiness is abidable. A person has a lot of possessions, but they spend their life worried about holding on to them. Because there's always a threat, what? Losing it. And if you don't lose it, it will eventually lose you. Because we're going out of here. Also, what comprises compositions of abiding actions, ideals, and goals? What is the essence? Now, I have engage you for a little over an hour in those things that most of the world can't resonate with. Why haven't we talked about the health care bill that the House of Representatives is supposed to vote on today? Because that means health care for some people that don't have it. And I'm sure in many pulpits this morning, that's what was discussed. But why haven't we talked about that? Why haven't we talked about the jobs bill today that the president signed this week? I'm sure that there may be some in the audience who are going to benefit from that. Why haven't we talked about global warming and the climatic changes? Because after all, I'm sure all of that affects us. And we're not saying that these things don't affect us. But look into the content of the message this morning. Yeah. What he was saying is that whether those things go or don't go, doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. In the ultimate end, that's not the essence of what your existence, your joy, your peace, your happiness. Whether they pass the bills, defeat it, we're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Whether the jobs, amen, come, or whether even the jobs that there are now dissipate, we're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Whether climate, weather increases, and the nice days like we look out the window and seeing today become rare and few or not at all, we're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. But what he was saying here is that while these things are good to look at, don't let them become distractions from what your focus is. Huh? From what your aim is. From where your joy, your peace, your sustenance, the essence. Listen, time is moving. In the manifested sense, in the actualized sense, it's spent. It's gone.
Hallelujah.
It's done. Eternity is long. And we're abiding in the body of Christ. Sons of God. Heirs of God. Oh, hallelujah. Right now. God's people should be the happiest people in the world. And it has nothing to do about what's going on around you. This thing is going to go down. And when it does, my prayer is that your faith doesn't go down with it. against the solid rock I stand. Why? Because all of the ground is sinking sand. Hold on to the essence of who you are in Christ so that you can rejoice in the God of your salvation no matter what comes and what goes. God bless you.
Hallelujah.